Jesus is the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united in me, and I will remain united in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me will be thrown out like the branch and dry up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they are burnt. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, then you will ask and know anything you wish, and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by you bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as you have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is that you love each other, one another, just as I have loved you. The greatest love a person can have is to lay down his life for his friend. And you are my friends, and if you do what I command, I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what the master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything that I have heard from my Father. I did not choose you, I chose you and appointed you. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask for him in my name. And then, this is what I command, that you love each one another. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just commit the preaching of your word to you, Lord God, and we say, come, Holy Spirit, breathe life into all that I say, and open our ears that we may hear with our hearts and just receive what you are saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here, it was a long passage, but I wanted the whole passage read because it puts it into context. Can I have my slides? Jesus calls himself the vine. I am the vine. But he refers to God as the vine dresser. I am the vine, and my Father, God, is the vine dresser. And he goes on to say that he cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. And it's really important that we understand the whole expression of I am. Back in the Old Testament, when Moses was sent to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go, he said to God, who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am. That's who you should say sent me. I am who I am. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. I am. So when Jesus begins, I am, immediately he has their attention. Ever before what comes after that. So he is saying that I am God. I am is speaking to you. And that is the weight behind that. So when he says, I am the true vine, let's go on to the next slide. So this picture here is a picture of the temple gates. And if you can see just kind of, there's all gold and overlaid there, but wrapped around the pillars was a vine. That's a golden vine. And it was the time of Passover when Jesus was talking to them. And as they go up, these little figures at the bottom is just to give you a scale. That's the height of a person. And these are how tall the gates would be. And they would have that in mind. They would have that vine in mind about when they were going up. So Jesus says, I am the true vine. I'm not this golden image that you are seeing. He was trying to get their mind off of this type of thing and onto what they would know out in the field. In fact, when we were singing I Am the Vine, You Are the Branches, there were some good images of the vine there. And so really the context and the analogy, Jesus is saying that, you know, I'm not just a golden image. I am the real vine and God is the vine dresser. And he talks about God as the gardener, so giving him a different role from Jesus himself. Jesus is the vine, God is the vine dresser. And he talks about him pruning. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian more than a day, you will realize that, you know, everything isn't just roses and perfume, that there are trials and tribulations. Jesus actually said, in this world you will have trials, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And sometimes those trials and tribulations are a pruning process that God uses really just to purify our hearts. In Deuteronomy, it talks about that, you know, I brought you through this hard way to see and to test what was in your hearts, to know whether you would keep my word or not. And it can seem quite harsh when you think about God as a pruning person and what he uses to prune. But it is all for the good of making sure that we grow and that we produce good fruit. And it's not necessarily that God sends these things our way, but God can use these things. So if you think about Joseph in the Bible, he had a brilliant dream that one day he was going to be, you know, in an elevated position. And that was a great dream. And unfortunately, his brothers did not agree that it was a great dream. And there was rejection from within his own family home. He was rejected and he was thrown down a well and he was sold as a slave. And God used those things to work on his character. Because later on, when he does become the prime minister and he gets the opportunity to take revenge back on his brothers, and they were afraid that he was going to take revenge, he said, what you meant for evil, God has turned around for good, for the saving of lives, for the saving of lives. Sometimes it's not until we get to glory that we will realize why we've passed through some of these trials and tribulations. But we should remember what Jesus is saying here, that God is the vine dresser and that he's got this, he's still on the throne, and the plan is still on. I heard a brilliant message by Chip Kendall that say God's plan is still on. What God has in store for you is still on. You may be going through a time of pruning. I was up in the Lake District on a retreat, and I came across this tree. Well, it wasn't a tree, it just looked like a bit of woods, but it was completely stripped down, and there was some things around it, and they call it coping. Is it coping? I think that, whatever. But what they do for this particular tree is they prune it right back so it looks like it's practically dead. And they use the things they put to put around it. And then it grows straighter and it grows taller and it is able to become a wonderful tree. And that's what the Lord does in our lives sometimes, strips away certain things, certain relationships, certain things that we might in order that we might grow strong. So one thing is, in terms of our response to Jesus being the vine, is recognize that God is the vine dresser. The second thing he tells us to do is to remain in him. So whatever is coming your way, we need to remain in Jesus, remain in God. When tough times comes, we have a choice. We can either pull away or we can remain in him. I heard some bad news on Friday. And it was that they found cancer in a particular lump in my body. This will be the third time they are finding cancer. And it was, to be honest with you, it was crushing. I was just in a daze as to what is going on. God, how could this possibly be? I don't know if I can go through this a third time. And, you know, I was really gutted. But I chose to remain in him. And coming away from the hospital, I had a 40-minute to get home. I put on my praise and worship tapes, and I began to abide, to dwell, to just remind myself that God's got this. This was a shock to me, but it wasn't a shock to God. I trust that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I say of God, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, and I trust him. And as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And how can you have that? Oh, you're such a strong woman, as people were saying to me. It's like, I ain't strong. It's just, I know who is strong though, you know. And I have cried as many tears as I can cry. But I'm crying, but I know God has still got this. And I choose to remain, to abide. And that word that is used in this phrase means to persist, to keep on going, to linger, to pause, to survive, to be lasting, unshakable in Christ. Abiding is living your life in union with Jesus. It's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step. But it's remembering that you are part of the vine. You are part of the vine. If you look up there, which is the branch and which is the vine? Is it not all one? Jesus is saying here that this is a picture of who we are in him. And if you cut yourself off, then you won't bear fruit. If you cut yourself off, you will die spiritually. But if you remain in him, though you may die physically, you will never die spiritually. And the third thing is we are commissioned to be fruitful. We've got one job, and that job is to bear fruit. Fruit and being fruitful is mentioned 6 times in that passage. Not bearing fruit is mentioned once. But being fruitful is mentioned 6 times. If you've given your life to Jesus to rule, and if you are in Christ, you are not property, as this passage said. You're not a slave, but you're a friend. You're part of who he is. In this revelation of himself as divine, he tells us that we are branches, meaning that we are one with him. Our life is actually sharing the same life as his. You can't see where the vine stops and the branches begin. You are God's masterpiece. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, he created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good works that he has planned from long ago. From long ago. Being fruitful. Your life has purpose. Your story is an important story. Your testimony. Your dreams count. They matter. They matter to God. He gave them to you. He gives you the desires of your heart. Your voice matters, and you were born to have an impact in your world. Your prayers matter, they count. If you're like me, then sometimes you get into the flesh in terms of like, I want to produce extra. I want to do, you know, I want to be fruitful. I want to be a good Christian, you know. But can you imagine just a vine saying, I want to bear good grapes. I want to bear green grapes, or I want to bear red grapes. And great bee. You know, it doesn't happen that way. It's a natural process for, you know, if the vine dresser takes care of the vine and does the fertilization and the clipping and the pruning or whatever, there will be good grapes. The same way, it's a supernatural process in our lives to bear fruit. You know, you can't force that fruit. Naturally, those fruit will come. I remember a lady writing to me, thanking me for helping her become a Christian. I did. When was that? And, you know, when you traced it back, I had no recollection. But we had sat around a kitchen table on a course, a counselling course, and she'd asked me a couple of questions, and I'd answered. And then that was it. And then later on, she went off and became a Christian because of what I said at the kitchen table. Who knew? You know, and that's what it's like, you know, in terms of your bearing fruit, you know, your prayers. We heard that Anne is feeling upheld by prayers. And certainly the people that have prayed for me, I'm feeling held up by, you know, that is fruit in their lives. And so, yes, I just want to say that you are bearing fruit. Don't think that you're not. And don't try and get into the flesh. And the final thing I want to say is that we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. So, you know, we are bearing fruit as being a branch, but there are so many other branches. Yesterday I was privileged to go to Rochdale Churches Together meeting. There was a breakfast there and just found out, different churches in this area. And the leaders of those churches and what they're doing, and they meet every 2 weeks to pray together, and, you know, they support one another in some of the social action programs that they've got going on, and it's just amazing. I'm working at the moment for an organization called Festival Manchester, and we are hoping to get 500 churches to come together in order to put on a festival in 2022 whereby the church can say, it's just like the old Billy Graham type of evangelical outreaches, but it's going to take all the churches working together in order to put on a festival. And I remember when I used to volunteer and go out for street pastors, and we used to walk in these streets up and down, past and around these different things, and they would say to us, "What church are you from?" And we could honestly say all of them. All of them in this area, because the different churches, they might not have been out there on the streets, but we were from different churches. There was two from Mills Hill and a few other churches, but they were on the board. Some of them were praying back home at Brenda's house. They were praying for us as we went out. And we could say that actually us out there on the streets, we were from all of the churches. And sometimes we get too internally focused on what's going on in our one church, and we forget that we are branches of the vine, you know, and we need to get our eyes up and out and look and see that we are part of a whole.